I don't want to fight. It's 3:30 in the morning. You don't want to stay. You've got nowhere to go. And if you're gonna walk out of here leaving me lonely, baby, please take my beat up heart. Baby, I don't want to talk about my drinking. You and I both know it's too much. All these choices that I make, I can hear the sound of your heartbreak. Sunday morning comes and my head's a pounding.
This was sent in from Kevin. I had to actually check because it's Kevin G, so I thought it was KG. I was like, no way. It's not KG. But Kevin G sends this one. Kevin, the only thing that I'm missing here, I don't got the name of your band, man. But pretty much, they've shared the stage with tons of national acts, played with Tracy Byrd Thursday, and they've also played with Josh Abbott Band as well. But yeah, I got nothing.
Well, if you know the name of this band, send it in to george@1620thezone.com or hit me up.
It might be Final Bounce Round 2. No, I don't think that's it. Yeah, so I don't know what the band name is. But Kevin, I appreciate the... You know what? I'm going to email Kevin and be like, hey, what's your band name? I just played you guys. Yeah, so... Local Music Thursdays on the Gary Sharp Show. It's back.
Need some applause. Where's the applause thing on this deal?
Well, one hand, you know.
They got this screen. It's got all these things. Someone's got to be applause. So you push the button and it does applause.
But yeah, you know how far away that other screen is?
If you just get it on my screen, I can push it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you do have access
to that. I can do the Shanley thing. I can do the Scott Frost cough. Well, you got to turn the volume up on that or it doesn't work.
There you go. Why is that a drop?
I'm not sure. I don't ask a lot of questions. I just sit in the chair.
Why?
I just sit in the chair and talk.
Okay.
Sorry. This is one of my favorite. So people ask all the time, like, hey, what do you miss about, like, your playing? And I'm like, oh, I miss my buddies. You know, I miss playing cards in the locker room and dominoes and, you know, running your mouth. I also miss the swag bags.
Oh.
Like when you go, like your bowl game swag bag and they just post up all the stuff that the gals for Nebraska volleyball got.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That was always good.
What was in it?
We got a bag and sweet stocking cap, couple, looks like a running suit.
Mm.
Bag looks pretty sweet. Jacket, nice jacket. But for us, so that was always Christmas. Like, all right, sweet. Mom gets this. Sister gets this.
Yo, that's,
Dad gets this.
That's so good.
And you're good. Then you just kept all your per diem money to go out and have a good time.
There you go.
Thank you, dear old Nebraska, you. Oh, what a time to be alive. It was good. It was a good deal. Hey, don't forget, if you want to get a hold of us at any of the forms of communication, the Demons Collision Center hotline is open, 402-951-1620 or 877-951-1620, the JTAC Construction Zone Twitter feed at Verse51. Always open, 247-365. While I am in the chair, the Equitable Bank online or Equitable Bank Zone inbox is open. Apologize if you try to get at me there. I don't check that much unless I'm sitting here in the studio. And those that know me well know I don't even check my other email that often either. Far better to get a hold of me via telephone or Twitter. Just simpler that way.
Yep, that's why I text you.
Yeah,
that's right? Exactly why I text you.
You're like firing me this stuff on email. I'm like, what?
Yeah, somebody's like, oh, yeah, email Verse. I was like, I'm not going to. I'll just text
just calling.
I'm just going
to. Not much for the email.
Exactly.
Just give him a buzz. Trying to talk lower, slower for Aaron Taylor, the old man, to hear better. Hey, T, if you're not busy, call in. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Be good to catch up. Fred,
you're going
to
give him the number?
Fred, yeah, 402-951-1620. Sorry. 877-951-1620 if you still do that thing. Has anybody ever called that line?
I don't think. Nope.
Is that a separate line in here?
To be honest with you, I think it is. I think it's the fifth one over there. But,
I'm calling that one next time. That's what I'm going to use.
I was going to say, I think you're the only one that gives that number out.
Oh, am I?
You might be.
It's part of my, I like the rhythm of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's just keep it. For all we know, people are trying to use that, and it's just dead. Doesn't work at all.
Right.
Fred here getting some military stories, and this said, I got two scars on the back of my head from a mag flashlight. First scar was from laughing. Second scar was for bleeding on the deck. Needless to say, I didn't laugh anymore when they burned guys.
Hmm.
Fred in the military would be another content piece. Fred has got a quick wit.
Yes.
And he is not afraid to talk.
Not at all.
I mean, he does not hesitate.
Like, not even a little bit. Not
what I owe.
Not even a little bit.
But yeah. So those are always, Got a couple emails in here. If I can get my email to open. All right. Oh, John says, John is in on this ice fishing thing. Damon and I've been invited to the cold weather ice fishing thing. He's got a shot of his tent. If you've got a sweet like ice fishing setup, like this one guy, Chris sent me one. This thing's got like wood panel. It's got a poker table. It's got couches.
Where's that at?
And then it's got just three holes randomly cut next to the couches in the floor. This has got to be in Minnesota somewhere. This looks very Minnesota. But yeah, says, yeah, if I could do this, shoot. It's just a house out there. You just live out on that thing. I've talked briefly before, as it is 1:02 now. We will talk to Brian Munson at 1:30. Catch up with Munson on recruiting. Get to hear, hopefully, the joy in a father's voice of his son deciding to go play football at the University of Nebraska-Kearney, which is a cool thing for Munson. We'll talk to him at 1:30, see what's going on with Nebraska, if all the crystal ball predictions are correct, and what goes on from there. Is that you or me?
You.
Dang it. The list here, the 150 greatest coaches of all time in college football, led off by two. I'm just going to read the top 10, and then I'll read some that I thought were a little off. The top 10 starts out with Paul Bear Bryant. Nick Saban is number 2. Newt Rockne is number 3. Tom Osborne, number 4. Eddie Robinson, who I think is too low, at number 5. Bud Wilkinson is number 6 from Oklahoma. Joe Paterno, number 7. Bobby Bowden is number 8. Woody Hayes, number 9. And Frank Leahy at number 10. ESPN really, they got after this. Now, here's something you can never in a million years explain to me. And I will battle you on this because there's bias. I had the utmost privilege of getting to meet this man and hang out with him, and it was awesome. It was one of those times when you get to meet somebody and it meets or exceeds every expectation you had of that human being. I've been lucky it's happened to me twice in my life, where they've lived up to the billing. But Barry Switzer at number 13, I think, is far too low. I think he should be ahead of John McKay. If I was going to do this, I would put a time frame on it. I would maybe cap that off. You know, I mean, it's hard to compare like 1938 to the 60s or 70s even. Should have got Pop Warner. I don't know if I can move Barry Switzer past Pop Warner. I know I can move him past Frank Leahy. Frank Leahy at number 10, way too high. Way too high. Notre Dame fan, you can come give me all your BS on that. But, yeah, Barry Switzer, I think, for sure should be in the top 10. As I said before, I also think Urban Meyer should be, if not in the top 10, just outside of the top 10. Because you take out, like, say you start after the 60s. You know, Leahy's gone. Woody Hayes is still in there. Ohio State, like, I probably would have had him behind there. Bobby Bowden, I think, is too low at 8. I think he should be ahead of Joe Paterno. Bud Wilkinson and the run they had, 40s to 60s, they were 47-game unbeaten streak from 53 to 57. I know that's just outside of my parameters on it. The one that got me, though, Eddie Robinson, what he was able to do at Grambling in the two stints that he had there, he was there 41. He's there for the 41-42 season, and then 45-97. When we talk about all of coaching and everything and what he was able to do at Grambling, I really, I mean, he's got to be, and I'm not trying to be blasphemous, but I would have him ahead of Coach Osborne for what he was able to do at Grambling. You don't have the facilities, you don't have everything else everybody else has, but year in and year out, you know, Grambling was good. I mean, Grambling was the SWAC. And it brought exposure, and it got a lot of people to the NFL. It had a ton of things, so everything from Younger, Buchanan, Doug Williams. I mean, they're on the College Football Hall of Fame. Like, Grambling was the deal. So he's one that I would wish would be higher on that list. As you scroll down a little further, another person that I would pull up there, and I can't find this one right now. There's a lot of, like, Lou Holtz at 23. I guess. Like, what you got, I just limited this thing to the 10. But, you know, my 10, it's hard. You're hard-pressed for me right now. And you guys know me, but I'm a fanboy. But right now I have to have Nick Saban as the number one. I think he's been the best coach. And when he's gone from Toledo, he was 9-2, Michigan State, where we got the chance to play against him and it didn't go as planned. LSU and their run they had, now Alabama at present. I mean, what he does in current day college football, and there probably is some recency bias in that. I'm finding either flip flopping either one of those two. In that Newt Rockne, I think is the lore. I'll be honest. He was at Notre Dame for 12 years, 105 wins, 12 losses, and 5. The ties one is always the one that gets me. With 5 ties at Notre Dame. But that's best. I'd love to know, though, where you think, if you think, anybody on there, where you're at under your Urban Meyer thoughts. Love him or hate him, the guy can coach. Okay. Does he press the envelope? Does he run the tightest ship? No, not at all. Not even close. But he stays ahead of it. Jim, I got Barry Switzer. Thought would be higher up on that list, but it's, you know, that's what lists are for. This is the early part of list season. We're right into the summer, and we got the list out already of the 150 greatest coaches in college football. Quick email here out of the Equitable Bank Zone inbox. This is 2 of them. Chris says, I call that one the 877 just on principle and not paying for a phone call, letting us know it does work. Oh, it does. So the phone line does work. It must roll into the other one. And then Jonathan asks, I had to read that there real quick. Your discussion topic on Coach Hoiberg making sure that he can secure some guys in the state is an interesting one. They could be the basis for helping Nebraska get back to some form of or slash any form of relevance in college basketball. How realistic is that? They're going to get these offers from other schools that seem to be a lot more flashy, have a lot more history. What do you think that that's going to end up being looking like? That's when, you know, you got the, oh, it's Williams. What's the kid out of North Star? The basketball player at North Star, George. Help me. Lincoln North Star basketball player committed to Nebraska. I got a brain block on that. I'll let you look it up.
Yep, I got you.
Yeah, but anyway, so you're getting him, Donovan Williams.
There it is.
Yep. You got him coming in. I think you know, I wouldn't give up on the Merle kid. Stanford is a big deal. Incredibly smart kid, great family. I know his father and a guy named Dave Miller used to give me hell when I would go to Grand Island youth basketball clinics. They nicknamed me Jeff Roulon because I was a little thicker in the legs. I was always down in the low post. But I think you can. I think if you can lock down at least the top two in the state every year, because I said Nebraska high school basketball is better. It's getting way better all the time. You lock those couple guys down a year, I think it's realistic to do. Now maybe you can also start to kind of cultivate that or create, would probably be a word, that culture of a local guy coming to the state school and doing well. You know, Mac and his crew, they dominate. They dominate recruiting in Omaha, surrounding area. If it's good in Omaha and they want it, they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fact, because they are the premier basketball organization in the state. If Hoiberg can start to win some of those battles and chip away at that and get guys in, I think that's a huge piece to what they want to build of this having, you know, hardworking but still running that, you know, let it fly, not complex, but running that offense where they can put a bunch of points on the board. So, yes, I believe he can. I don't know the pitch of it. If it's instant playing time, yeah, you're probably going to play it right away. Really good shot. Let's get her going. But that's something that I want to see, and I hope that they can accomplish in that. Yeah, TJ says, I mean, I am a Notre Dame, I think homer was what he went for, but frankly, he was 1-7, 13-9 with 5 national championships. He was also born in O'Neill and has his brother as the mayor of Omaha. So you have some Nebraska love for him. No, I don't. That was, yeah, that's TJ. No bones about it. I have a full-blown Notre Dame bias. I'm not a Notre Dame person, not a Notre Dame fan. Got no problem admitting that. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why also, if you can move that, I would set an error. I'd probably, just to keep it more where I would like the list, I would keep that thing from 70 on. Yeah. 4 national titles in 7 years. Drove his players harder than he drove himself. Mm-hmm. Stress became so great that he nearly died in the 53 season and retired at 45, never coached again. It's a good way to go out. You leave no doubt that you gave everything you had there. It's like, all right, that's all I got. I'm out. Just about killed myself. I'm gone. Heading to the hotline here. We'll talk on the Dimmins Collision Center hotline to Rick. Rick, what's up, bud?
Burrs, I got too much time on my hands, but your topics are good. Getting back to the little bit of abusive with coaches and stuff, and not that these guys are abusive, the Sabins and the Sweeneys and the guys that are dominating now in college football. But the other guy, and he wouldn't obviously be in the top 10 or top 20 or probably would be Snyder out of Kansas State. There's never been a guy that's done more with less.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree that Saban would be at the top. And give Sweeney a few more years, he'll be up there too. But I guess the question I was going to ask you is, when you look at Clemson and Alabama, obviously Georgia hasn't made it. LSU finally got in there. But why do you think there are no other outside entities of South or the down Southeast? Obviously Ohio State got in this year, but why is it that nobody else can penetrate pretty much for the Final Four? And I don't consider Oklahoma. I'm sure a lot of them guys on that roster are Texas. I don't mean to get crazy here, but mm-hmm. but it just seems that they can't. The playoffs can't expand, and I'm not talking about 8 teams or 16, but it just seems like it's so solidified down south. Obviously, there's a lot of things that go into it, but it just don't seem to break out. Southern Cal's dead for football.
Yeah.
Stanford's down this year. It's just, I wouldn't even call it cyclical, but what is your take on what's going on that it's so predominantly occupied by the southeast part of the country, mm-hmm. or the south?
Yeah, thank you for the call, Rick. Appreciate you, bud. That's where the talent is, right? Like what they have talent wise. That's why Herman's struggling a little bit, and what I would call struggling from their expectation at Texas is perplexing to me. These high schools are, I mean, they're run like small colleges. Mm-hmm. You got spring ball, you got the whole nine. I had an offer to go down to Texas a while back to coach with a former teammate, and I said, well, you know, what are we looking at here? And he said, well, you make $75,000. I said, I don't have a teaching certificate. He goes, don't worry about that. We can get you one of those. I said, this sounds fantastic already. Like, what do I have to teach? And he goes, you have to teach freshman weights, football philosophy, which he goes, that's just going over the playbook with the players. And he said, study hall. I'm like, that's it. I teach 3 classes. I go through spring ball and a football season, and then you pay me $75,000 in a no state tax state. He said, yep. He said, if you need to, we'll move you down here. We'll find somewhere to live, blah, 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 blah. Like, man, this sounds like a pretty good deal. Like, this sounds like a really good deal, actually. Now, with that, when we talk about, you know, Nebraska kids are developmental kids the other way around, you know, you get those guys from down south, like they're ready-made. Like they're ready to go in and play football right away. So that's kind of what you got going on. I mean, I think the reason it stays down south, and the north part of it, like the, you know, the Big Ten's, like the Big Ten conference as far as coaching goes, is getting better, right? You look at the Big Ten, there's a lot of great coaches in the Big Ten. Some of them have to step up their games to be great coaches in the Big Ten, but it's better. I don't know what happened to the Pac-12. I cannot tell you if it's people came in and started taking all their talent and moving it away. But everybody wants to go where success is. Like, everybody wants to go where teams are doing well. Recruiting for Clemson has to be an absolute blast. You roll into the room, you got a guy that's a five-star, he's unblockable, or he just destroys everybody. Every time he catches, he scores. Every time he runs, it seems like he's going for 90. You walk in there and say, hey, we're Clemson. Kid's already interested. So your sell is different. For me, in college football, it's easier sometimes to build on success. And when I say build on success, I'm not talking about winning. I'm talking about getting the parts and pieces to keep you winning. Now you've got to fall back on your system that you use to make sure you can fall in line with that and everything kind of goes on as planned once you get the talent there. So for me, it's just base of talent to pull from. Ohio, rich in talent. Got a lot of football talent in the state of Ohio. The state of Nebraska and the surrounding area doesn't have the same amount of talent, so Nebraska coaches have to work harder to make sure that talent is there and get those things in. Same with Pennsylvania, a lot of talent. I'm interested to see what happens with Shiano back at Rutgers, but that's another story for another day. We're going to step out here, take a quick break. We'll come back, continue on this fantastic Thursday with Gary Sharp Show, 1620 The Zone.